Jason Black, the mountaineer from Letterkenny, is a lucky man. Around now, he was due to reach the summit of K2, but an avalanche got in the way. One heck of an avalanche. It hit his camp on Friday. It swept away his ropes, helmets, crampons, all his gear. A disastrous situation when you're up near the top of what's wildly held to be the most dangerous mountain on the planet. For every 100 who try to climb K2, 29 will die. Amazingly too, Jason managed to hold on to his satellite phone as the avalanche rolled by, and I managed to get through to him on it earlier today.
I'm in K2 here at the minute in Pakistan. I'm on the K2 expedition 2015. There's approximately 35 climbers from around the world trying to take on K2 at the minute. We've been here for the guts of 5-6 weeks at this stage. Up until now, we've been very successful in putting in the route up as part of Camp 4. There's 4 camps from the summit to the base, and we've been successful to get gear and rope, oxygen and tents and food from Camp 1 to Camp 4. And last Friday, and we spent the last 4 weeks doing that, which was incredible at this altitude. You know, I'm sitting here at 5,300 metres, and I'm sure you can hear with my deep breathing how difficult it is to breathe. So, right up till 8,000 metres, we've been putting gear in, which has been hugely challenging. Last Friday, we had an opportunity to go for a summit window, which took about 4 to 5 days to get to the summit. It means we had a clear weather pattern with the monsoons lifting to give us a clear access to go for the summit. We still had very challenging weather to deal with, but we felt comfortable that we could deal with it. Unfortunately, when we got to Camp 1 last Friday, stroke Saturday morning, a huge avalanche struck, taking out our tents and taking out our technical climbing equipment, right back to crampons, harnesses, helmets, and our food in our tents. And just to put it in perspective, I'm talking, you know, multiple size football pitches, hundreds and thousands of tons of rock, ice and snow on a 70 degree pitch. It was incredible to see.
It would be bad enough getting, you know, I'm just thinking anybody who's ever camped, you know, and they get, you get the tent knocked down. It's grim. Yeah. But you basically are saying that everything that you were depending on for life is wiped away at 5,000 metres on the approach to probably the most dangerous mountain in the world, and you're standing there, what, in the clothes you're wearing?
Yeah, we're just literally just below 6,000 metres when this happened. We're literally in the gear that we have available to us, and all the survival stuff that we need to stay alive and to successfully climb this mountain has just faded in front of us. And something we didn't calculate, something we didn't, I mean, nobody would have predicted this happening. And it was devastating. It was an incredibly devastating situation. We went from an incredible high that morning, after having all the gear in place, right the way up, and having this window to go for it. So we left in fantastic high spirits. Everybody extremely motivated, and then all of a sudden, just the most incredible load that you just could not believe. Mm-hmm. Why we faced the most, this mountain is incredibly tough. I mean, it's, I will struggle in words even when I get home.
Jason, maybe listeners will want to know, if you're up that high and you've needed all that technical gear to get up to the upper reaches of K2, if it's all swept away, yeah, how do you get back down again?
Well, at that stage, what we had to do was we had to literally get in and dig in. I mean, we had taken photographs of the tent, and we had a rough location of where it was with our GPS system. So, I mean, we literally got digging with our shovels, and I mean, we spent 2 full days digging, and we did locate some of our equipment, we did locate some of our gear, but it was very badly twisted and very extremely bad shape. My helmet was smashed as if a lorry had driven over it. My ice axe was infected, my crampons twisted into tensile steel twisted into just pulp. We just had to rely on our own natural skill and ability to get down. But a more devastating thing happened. Things happened for a reason, and I believe Mother Nature and the man above was looking after us, because that day we were due to go to Camp 2, and then early that next morning we were to move to Camp 3. Early that next morning, Camp 3 was swept away in the most incredible avalanche of Aegean rock. Rocks the size of cars, I'm not talking small little pebbles, rocks the size of cars, hundreds and thousands of tons of snow and ice coming through the camp, taking out all our oxygen, taking out all our tents. all our food's full, gas, and there's absolutely not a single shadow of doubt that when we would have been on that plane, on that deck between Camp 2 and Camp 3, I wouldn't have been having this phone call with you today. We would have been really badly injured or not killed.
Well, indeed, and listeners will again be wondering, I mean, if your tent was swept away, your crampons, it's not... I mean, how come you weren't swept away if it was if this thing came sweeping through the size of football fields?
We were just in the right place at the right time. We just had missed it. It had just happened. Our tent was in place with all our gear inside it. We were just approaching it, and then bang, it just happened. So to see it being swept away in front of you and the magnitude of the thing, you know, it was quite sobering.
How far away were you, Jason?
Oh, only 200 or 300 metres away.
200 or 300 metres away?
Yeah.
You could probably feel the wind of it in your face.
Look, the whole emotion was raw. I mean, you know, the noise, the power, it was just, it was immense. Absolutely immense. I mean, nobody was survived. Absolutely nobody was survived. It's God's mercy that nobody was there. And, you know, and that's what we have to hang on to as mountaineers.
Well, can you describe why a man would put himself in that situation? Because you know more about K2 than a lot of people listening to this. I mean, it's called the King of the Mountains. I've done a wee bit of mountaineering, nothing on this scale, Jason.
Yeah.
It's taken so many lives. Why does a man put himself in that situation?
Well, you know what? K2 has a reputation of called the Savage Mountain, and to mountaineers, it's the true mountaineering mountain. It has only roughly about 360 people worldwide who've ever been successful in K2. It has that tag attached to it. I've been climbing all my life, blessed to be involved in Cubs and Scouts and in the great outdoors in Donegal. And, you know, as a progression, you know, I've moved up in altitude and technicality, and I suppose, like every athlete in life, you always aspire to want to take on the best. And yeah, I mean, it's a hugely selfish challenge because you're putting yourself out there, and you're putting yourself out there for the possibility of never returning. But, you know, deep down, I have to look inside me as an individual, look into my strength and my ability and trust and believe in me as a person. You know, outside of that, I'm in control. I'm not in control of Mother Nature, and I respect the mountain and I respect everything about the mountain and Mother Nature so much.
Jason, I mustn't keep you on too long because I know it's a very expensive thing even to talk to you today. Just finally, I mean, I'm wondering where you are, and have you a message for friends and family back home who will have been glued to your progress? I know you're blogging occasionally and when you can. Have you a message for them?
Yeah, look, you know, I'm standing here in ABC and I'm looking up at K2, the most beautiful site as a mountaineer. At this stage now, I'm trying to get back on the mountain, and my focus is on one direction, which is getting back to Ulster and getting back to Donegal and my hometown in Letterkenny. You know, my focus up until that point had been very much focused on the summit. For now, the summit success for me is getting home safely and being able to share my story with my community in Donegal. I'm looking forward to getting home. I want to thank everybody for the huge amount of support, physically and mentally, and helping me prepare and get to where I am today, and for supporting me and my family back home, and for just believing me and me as an individual. And you know what? While tonight I leave K2, I promise I will be back to dance with her again.
Thanks a million for speaking to me.
Lovely. Thanks for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And to all the listeners, thanks to you for all the huge support. It's very much appreciated, and I'm very, very grateful.
I will be back to dance with her again. What a remarkable guy. Jason Black there, the Donegal man, Letterkenny man, businessman. Lucky guy. It's an amazing thing. I was just sitting listening to that for the second time there. And remember, I tried to climb the Eiger once and we were stormed off, and you feel the fear of death when your crampons are on sheet ice and all the rest. That's a sandcastle compared to that. Goodness me, the statistics on K2 are mind-blowing. Nearly 6,000 people have climbed Everest. Only 300 have climbed K2. And as I say, pretty much you have a 1 in 3 chance of dying if you have a go at K2. The 81 deaths that it's claimed so far. The most people who have died on K2, 24, avalanche. Falls, 23. Altitude sickness, 18. Disappearance, 12. Illness, 4. For every 100 climbers who have summited K2, 29 have died. Boy. More hazardous than Everest. It's known as Chogori, which means the king of the mountains. And what a remarkable thing. I take my hat off to a boy like that. That's just courage on the capital C. So look, we'll maybe get Jason in when he has time to assess his whole experience when he gets back here. Maybe gets a nice warm Donegal dinner in his belly and we'll get him in for a cuppa and a proper chat. He sounds like a remarkable chap, doesn't he?